Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos. That's Bob Mackowitz. I think it's like episode 78 or 79.
I think we're 79 this time.
Yeah, 79. That's right. And Bob, I've got a theme for this one. This is called the Bob Mackowitz is in Charge podcast. Because I'm going to tell you, Bob, I'm going to be so tired of my own voice by the end of today. Because I just did the morning show hosting Landsberg Was Away. That's 4 hours. This is about 55 minutes, and then I'm going to Hamilton to do Hamilton Radio, and that's 4 hours, and I'm on my own. So that is 4 hours of pure West. It's 100% pure cause. I am already projecting ahead to Friday's nap.
Are you doing radio solitary confinement today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's totally what I'm doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, if you want, I got a ton to talk about.
I know, it's perfect. I got a ton as well, just prepping for the shows.
But. I've been super busy.
Yep.
And over the last couple of days, it slowed down, which meant I could catch back up and do much more prep for today's pod than I've been able to do for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I apologize for all those stinky performances.
Hey,
hopefully
really
today will be better. I've been listening back, though. You can always tell that I'm unprepared when I talk more.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's the old filibuster move.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Distract people, you know, baffle them with volume.
Yeah. Well, today might be, well, who knows? I mean, it's always funny to say, I'm not going to talk that much. Then you start rambling.
Okay, so we got World Cup to go through.
Yep.
Talk about the Leafs because the NHL draft is just around the corner. There's some rumors swirling around the team. I got a .. Raptors draft that goes tonight.
Yep.
We'll see if they do anything. A sick burn from Charlotte to add another one to the pile.
Yep.
And a momentous end of an era occasion.
Ooh.
Like all these things, Matt.
That's a ton.
And we have only an hour to do it.
And for people who, you know, are new to it, is Bob's, that's Bob's daughter. And the last one was when she was watching American Ninja Warrior proclaiming that mommy could do that. And then didn't really bring your name up, but pats your stomach and goes, tummy.
She calls my stomach tummy.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about it, this seems like a natural segue.
Sure.
So I'm playing Lego Jurassic Park on the PS4 with her the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the controllers. And it's a one-person controller game.
Yeah.
So we just alternate back and forth. And there's a little responder jeep that you can jump into. So I jump into it and immediately plow it right into a tree.
So it's like you drive in a car.
So
normally.
She says to me, she goes, Dad, you crashed the car. Why do you think that is?
Oh, that's good.
Why do you think that is?
And what was your response? Because I don't drive, Charlotte.
Yes, Charlotte.
We get
I know.
It.
Daddy's only a partial parent.
Yeah, exactly.
Because mommy has to take you everywhere.
I've been hearing this joke for 25 years. Bravo, Charlotte. That's funny.
I thought you would get a kick out of that. Why don't we start off with the Leafs?
Sure.
Even though the draft's tomorrow night, there's some interesting stuff. And yesterday you had the news, Connor Carrick signs for a year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Pickard signs for a year deal. They're small things.
Small things.
But they give you a sense of where the team might be going, especially with Carrick, because it kind of suggests Polak won't be back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Polak's gone. Actually, I did this interesting trick because every day you try to find a way to talk about John Tavares. Yeah. Got a lot
Do
of
you have to try that hard?
No. So here's how I did it. When I thought of the Connor Carrick deal, Connor Carrick is a reminder that if the Leafs somehow get Tavares, and 10% chance, we'll put a 10% chance, it's going to be players like Carrick that are going to be so important because you're going to have to surround the team with useful, which is the key word there, cheap talent. And, you know, it's going to be about some of the guys you saw in the Marlies who won the Calder, who won Game 7 against Texas. It's going to be so much on them because the team's going to be stars and scrubs, especially if they can find the financial gymnastics to keep the big three and get Tavares. You will be saying, and also you'll be saying goodbye to Jake Gardner.
Yep.
Goodbye, Jake Gardner.
I think Jake Gardner's gone anyway. We've been talking about this over the pod the last few weeks. I think he's gone not because they don't like him. I think he's gone because he's probably not in their long-term plans, and he's a year away from his UFA year.
Yeah.
And
the salary cap.
And you can get something. And they're not that bad on the left side of the D. It's the right side of the D that's the issue. So I could see him getting squeezed out and maybe they give Travis Dermott a bump up.
Yeah.
Maybe not, though, because, you know, they do want to kind of win now, so maybe they don't do it. But I wouldn't be shocked if it happened.
Yeah.
Can I add one more thing to your categories
of
there?
Of course.
Stars, scrubs, and young kids, which you alluded to, but I don't think kids are necessarily scrubs.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, by scrubs, I actually, that was more just an economic thing. But yes, the young kids it would
the
fall.
The 2 million and down category.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. We'll get to Tavares probably a little bit more later. Or maybe not. I think there's one question when it's the draft. And when you have the 25th pick, it's hard to get excited.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know much about the players who are there. And you don't expect an impact player. You hope you get one.
By the way, there'll be nothing better than during the draft when everyone starts gasbagging of who the Leafs took. And you know that only 3% of the people have probably really seen whoever it is play.
I can't believe they passed on Ryan Merkley.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you can't believe it because it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
So here's the question I think that goes in, though. Is tomorrow the beginning of an indication how Shanahan and Dubas view this team? And by that, I mean, are they in win now mode or are they still looking at accumulating pieces?
Yeah.
They're a little bit ahead of schedule in terms of where they sit in the standings by their own admission.
Yeah.
But you could easily see going into next year saying, we don't think we're good enough yet to say, damn the Torpedoes, we're going for it now. They got assets, they got young players, and they got picks.
Yep.
You know, do they go up in the draft because they love somebody? Would you rather see them spend that on a, you know, on a trade to bring over somebody who can help now? I think we're going to learn a lot about how they view the team starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think if they do move up, then it's got to be a guy they love because the analytics always say, do not move up. You know, it's all about just collect as many players as you can, and eventually you'll hit on them.
Yeah, playing their percentages.
Yeah, yeah. So if they move up, they're going to love the guy, and it's going to be a guy they felt has really dropped for them to do that.
Although with all this Carlson talk in there, Erik Karlsson talk, and how he's set to be moved, you remember that he was drafted 15th overall.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sometimes find these gems in the middle of the first round. I mean, every year there's somebody. Matt Barzal won the Calder last night. And
congrats, Edmonton.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to more of that. Yeah, I know. I know. So I think I'm really interested to watch tomorrow. I mean, no matter who they pick, it's a big deal in the city. But it's more like, okay, do they see themselves as still trying to accumulate assets, stockpile as best they can?
Yeah.
Or are they going to get a little bit more aggressive because they have stockpiled and they're a little ahead of schedule?
Yeah, it's, I mean, for Dubas, think about this. It's just like, okay, Dubas, the next 10 days, draft, free agency, Nylander. July 1st, you can start talking to Matthews and Marner. When a GM takes over, usually it's on a bad team. For Dubas, completely different ball of wax, kettle, whatever it is. Yeah, the expression. So different than when usually what happens when a GM takes over.
That's a really great point, Matty. I don't think that's been made enough in the Toronto media, which is he's inheriting kind of a weird scenario.
Yeah.
A team on the rise.
Oh, yeah.
How many times do you move your front office around because your team is on the rise and things have gone really well under the last administration?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. I haven't really heard too many people put it that way. I think the Chris Tanev thing is really interesting for a lot of reasons. Going back to last year, you know, I was hoping they would make a deal for him. But when you throw out that, oh, well, what if they asked for Timothy Liljegren?
Yeah.
People go nuts.
Yep.
People go nuts. They say, well, why would you trade a possible young right-handed shot defenseman?
For another one.
For another one. Now, the one obviously can contribute now, and the other one, you know, he might wind up being a better player, but he's a few years off from that.
Yeah.
And that speaks to where do you sit on the they got to win now mentality? Because if you think that this next year it represents a legitimate and meaningful shot, maybe you like the idea of Tanev and you're willing to give up a lot to get him.
Yeah, it feels like you're still one more year away. It's for the most boring of answers. You just want one extra year of Matthews, Marner, and Nylander to the season. I mean, the greatest improvement the Maple Leafs most likely are going to make over the next year and a half, 2 years, is the fact that the young guys are going to get older. They're probably not going to go get... I mean, the odds are. I mean, maybe they get Tavares. Maybe they get Carlson. Either or. But the most likely thing is the way the team gets better is time will pass. Such a boring answer, but that's probably what's going to happen.
I also think not just the time has passed, Matty. It's true. You expect these guys are going to get incrementally better. Probably not a ton, but just, you know...
Guys get better.
Yeah, better season for the playoffs, probably most of all. But there's also an element of luck. to winning it all. Like, if you're good enough to be in the top five or six teams in the NHL, well, it could be any one of you. You know, it's not the NBA where you have a Golden State. It's not...
Or a Golden State.
Or a Golden State.
Good example there, Bob. Yeah,
yeah, thanks. and it's not the NFL where you can have a star quarterback and say, he's probably, you know, there's no Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's the NHL. It's kind of a coin toss. Like, they're entering the phase where anybody can win realistically.
Oh, yeah. I bring it up all the time. If Washington doesn't fluke bounce a goal in double overtime of game three down 0-2 to Columbus, we might not be talking about poor Barry Trotz and the disrespect Washington did. Because then they would have been bounced out. And then you know what Barry Trotz would have been? 19 years in the NHL, never got out of the second round. But because they win double overtime of game three of the first round, now it's suddenly Barry Trotz, one of the best coaches in the league.
Right. So he's in the upper echelon as opposed to being seen as Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah.
He gets fired because he just can't make it happen in
yeah.
the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really great point, Matty. I don't think that they're going to start flipping assets now, not in any meaningful way. And I think that what you're going to see is starting next year it happens. So even if they make trades this year, it could be like for next year's first.
Yeah.
Because maybe by then they're thinking, you know, not only do we have enough players in the system, but you got to pay these guys. You know, eventually, like, they start coming into their contract years, you can't afford them all.
Oh, yeah.
And it's financially unsound. Like, this is one of the weird things about the salary cap. It sounds great to say, let's have all these amazing players in our developmental system. But eventually you have to pay them or keep or lose them.
It's a great, yes. Oh, absolutely. It's infuriating, but it's also a wonderful problem to have. And considering right now what we're seeing in Ottawa, and at least yesterday for the NHL Awards, Edmonton was like, hey, Sens, take a day off from being the biggest shit show in the NHL. We got this one tonight. Congratulations, Taylor Hall.
So can I create a short list of why I think Dubas might actually pull the trigger on a Chris Tanev deal?
Do it.
One, right-handed shot, obviously.
Ding.
Now, he's not Mike Babcock, but you saw that Boston series. If the guys who are on the right half of the ice play better in the defensive end, they might win.
Yeah.
Like, it was a real problem for them. And that goes to maybe my biggest issue, which is I'm sure they're looking at Ron Hainsey and saying, we got a lot out of him during the year.
Yeah.
But he ran out of gas.
He did.
He wound up on the shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to imagine a guy who's 1 year older is somehow going to get through that long regular season and a deep playoff run and not show you what he just did.
Yeah, anyone born in the end of the 70s, you know, playing the sort of minutes he played last year. Yeah, you're right. He did. Like, when we talked about Hainsey in the first month and a half of the year, it was revelation. This guy's doing it all. It was like, he probably shouldn't be doing it all.
Right.
Yeah, you need to reduce him by 10, 15%.
And hopefully then he gives you something in the playoffs. But it's just, it's a bigger question mark going into next year than it was going into this year's playoffs.
And think about Hainsey as well. Before this year, what was he doing? He went right to the finals for the Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh. So he's had some hard living,
Matt,
over the last 2 years.
He's getting old. NHL terms, that's like aging like a dog. Like, he's, you know, so what is he, 38, 39?
Yeah.
Multiply that by 7. He's somewhere around 240 years old, Matt. What can you expect out of him?
Yeah, well, actually, 280. He's actually 241.
Yeah. What did I say?
Yeah, you said like 280.
I said 240.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, you were off by one. Guess who got it right? Me.
You crashed the car, Dad.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Lawrence Gilman.
Mm-hmm.
He had him in Vancouver.
Yep, good
and
point.
And he's an influential voice, and apparently he loved him.
You have been doing your research.
A little bit, yeah. Now, the health is always an issue. So maybe you don't have to give up. You'll have to give up a lot, and it's a bit of a risk. But again, I go back to this. How much do you throw the dice going into this year? I don't know. I don't think they're ready to. That's my biggest instinct.
The big thing is, obviously, let's start with Tavares. Because Tavares, Toronto boy, blah, blah, blah. If Tavares indicates he wants to come here, maybe you get him for $800,000 less than what he could get somewhere else. You know, that's the time when you maybe take that chance because he moves the needle. But then you have to live with the fact that you might not be able to keep Nylander for the long term, or you're going to have a lot of Connor Carricks at defense and at forward. But, I mean, that's one of the moves. If you can do it, You probably do it.
Isn't this just where you wish the NHL players could think like NBA players? And he comes and signs a 2-year deal for a ton of dough.
Yeah.
And then he winds up being an unrestricted free agent again at the end of it. And maybe he has a ring, or they're that much closer and he stays here. Or maybe he goes and he signs a 4 or 5 year deal somewhere else to play out the rest of his years.
Yeah, but it's the NHL. He's signing an 8-year deal, most likely staying with the Islanders.
Yeah, I know. I know. And that's why you just wish for one day, July 1st, John Tavares is possessed by the spirit of LeBron James.
Yeah, exactly. Look what it takes to move a guy. It takes cyberbullying to the most disgusting degree from your fiancé to get moved. I mean, with Mike Hoffman.
And also an open feud with your owner.
Yeah, an open
feud. And a team that's in utter free fall. And even still, people are like, do you think Ottawa will keep him?
They're the worst.
They are the worst.
There's not even, I mean, if you're Eugene Melnyk, you got to think about selling.
Are they starting to enter worst franchise today in all pro sports in North America?
Yes, 100% they are.
I can't really think of another team in another sport. I'm trying to think, is there any team in football?
But what it has to be, okay, let's take a football equivalent. You're going to have a team that a year ago was a missed field goal away from going to the Super Bowl. Then they finish second last. Their star pass rusher gets injured. And then when he comes back, isn't playing great and demands out, and your owner is trying to pull an Art Modell like a la Cleveland Browns. You need all of, and then the cyberbullying on top of all of that. Oh, no, I'm not done. And you're going to have your assistant general manager who is dealing with issues of maybe of assault. Oh, so
can I add to this again? And you got arena issues because you're an hour out of town and you're a Canadian market that can't even fill its home dates.
No, I know.
In the sport of hockey.
Imagine the Green Bay Packers. They're like, why doesn't anyone come to Lambeau? Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, yeah, they might be the worst franchise in North America.
And it didn't take long. Now, they did get really close to the cup final, but that was mostly on the back of good goaltending.
Yep.
That was a bit of a false narrative.
Yeah.
But, man, please hit us up on Twitter at Macko and Cos Podcast.
Yep.
Or B Makowitz, or am I Bob Makowitz? Which am I again?
You're at Bob Makowitz.
I'm not on social media anymore.
Yeah. Why did
you? I'm off.
I'm M Cos 56.
Thanks, because I'm not going to read it because I'm not there.
Do you want to talk about that, or is it a private personal thing?
It's not private or personal at all. I just got kind of bored.
Really?
Yeah.
So then you didn't see the picture of Travis Dermott today on Instagram?
No.
Okay, Bob, I want you to think about this.
Okay.
He's a very pale, pale fella.
Okay.
He's somewhere in Mexico.
Uh-oh.
Cornrows.
Oh, no.
Speedo.
Oh, no.
And the Speedo was yellow duck, you know, a lot of little yellow duckies Speedo.
Did he lose a bet?
That's what we're speculating. I haven't seen anything of it. My only thought is, this is what happens when Lou Lamoriello goes. Suddenly, there's Travis Dermott, cornrow. And listen.
He's going to come in with a Brent Burns beard.
Oh, yeah. They're all going to come with it. It would be a big F you to Lamoriello. And
he's going to drive in with Steve Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Stevie boy. Don't worry. I've got more hot gossip for you later. Catch you later. I'm not even talking about, you know, the conversation of cultural appropriation. But this is a simple fact. And Bruce Arthur brought this up from the Toronto Star today. No white person has ever pulled off cornrows.
Great question.
It's never happened.
Did JK from Jamiroquai used to have cornrows? He may have.
Mm.
Can you... let me get my computer. I'm going to look this up. Okay? Right. Why don't you do the ads here, and I'm going to look up whether JK had dreadlocks.
Let me tell you something, people. Let's say you're in trouble. Let's say suddenly on the internet there's a picture of you in a Speedo and cornrows, and you need a cease and desist. Well, there's only one person to go to, Jeff Pollock. He's our lawyer. He should be your lawyer, and he can handle all of it. And because it feels like a very much like a family firm, he will take this case, and he will be very discreet about it. And it doesn't matter what. Wills, which he dealt with mine, litigation, states and trust, corporate commercial, real estate law, whatever it is. Jeff Pollock is for you. That's jeffpollock.com, Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. The number 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088. And also, his wife deals with all the stuff on the accounting side, so they can help you put together your war chest of money you'll need to go after all your enemies, whoever posted a pic of you with cornrows and a Speedo on Instagram.
I'm looking it up. It doesn't appear that he did, but he did have a native headdress on at one point, which
that's not good.
Also didn't look good.
Yeah.
I'm taking a quick look at just, I just Google searched images for white guys in dreadlocks.
It's never good.
No, I see Bieber.
Not a good look.
No.
When Bieber did it, horrible look.
Yeah, this is just, yeah, this didn't work.
There was a movie, Spring Break. I'm trying to remember who the star of that was. I think James Franco.
Yeah, but that's a parody, though.
That's a parody. But I think that's the only time I can think of where a white person with cornrows produced something that could be deemed as a positive. So Bob, you're missing this on social media.
Yeah, maybe I need to get back on.
Yeah, you got
to
get back on. You haven't seen my sunset pics. You know, what wine am I drinking? There's so much you're missing right now, Bob, like not being on social media.
You do create a compelling case. you want to do some winners, losers for last night's NHL awards?
Yeah.
I put together a list. This is an
There's
indication.
There's only one loser, but okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, who's yours?
The loser is simple. It's Edmonton.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing better than angry Edmonton fan defending it. And listen, Edmonton, we get it. You know, Adam Larson, you needed help on defense. And listen, what Peter Chiarelli did is totally cool if one small thing happens. Adam Larson wins a couple Norris trophies and you go deep in the playoffs. As long as that happens, you can totally justify the Adam Larson-Taylor Hall deal.
If I remember correctly, it was another Swede. I think it was Victor Hedman who won last night. So that may not have happened, Matt.
Okay, might not have happened. But if it did happen, then you're good. And there was nothing better than the Connor McDavid face when Taylor Hall won. It's like, bleep this whole situation. And even afterwards, him talking to the media about winning the Ted Lindsay, he was not happy. Actually, I think it's the angriest I've heard him. He is a miserable fellow. What's happening with Mike Trout with the Angels and Andrew Luck with the Colts is the same thing with Connor McDavid in Edmonton.
I blame Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. He signed there.
He did sign there.
He signed there.
It's on you, buddy. Look
when
in the mirror.
He was drafted, I made the bold prediction on air that he would be the first in a generation to leave his team before the end of his UFA years.
Yeah. Boy, were you wrong.
I was really wrong. Yeah. I underestimated the Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I actually spun that one, though, as a winner. I think last night's winner was Mark Bergevin.
Okay.
Because it's pretty clear now that the PK Subban deal isn't the worst active deal in the NHL.
Yep.
So that's going to look worse and worse as the years go on, but it'll never get to be as bad as last night's Hart Trophy victory for Taylor Hall.
I'll be honest with you. Then the other one, you know, Matt Barzal winning the Calder.
That's my other one. But who's the loser in that, though? Kyle Dubas. Because if you're trying to convince John Tavares that his team is no good, he's got this exciting young superstar that Lou Lamoriello can turn around and say, look, our team is going to be good. We're going to get the facility worked out. We're going to get Barry Trotz.
Yeah, we got, you know, Anders Lee. We got Matt Barzal. Ooh, that is a good point. Maybe that does hurt Toronto. I'll say this, and that one's not all on Edmonton because they had the draft pick and other people passed on Barzal. But I had to actually look up where Griffin Reinhart was because that's the guy they got in the deal.
Is he getting cornrows?
He might be.
Like in Florida with James Franco?
ESPN didn't even have his last year stats. Like ESPN couldn't find Griffin Reinhart.
You know what's nutty about this is there was always that rumor too that I believe it was the Islanders were ready to ship all of their picks in order to trade up so they could get Griffin Reinhart. Their entire flotilla of picks for the whole year.
They were going to go Ricky Williams?
Yeah.
Going to go full Ricky Williams?
All in.
All right. Other winners
and losers. Tough to be big and slow. Loser. Well, actually, we should just say this. Winner for the whole night is the Humboldt kids because that was pretty amazing.
What the NHL did honoring Humboldt, honoring what happened with Parkland and the Vegas shooting Derek England, Wayne, like the, and Bruce, you know, was perfect with this. He's like, the NHL can't do funny. There may be no entity that's worse at doing funny than the NHL, but damn, can they capture the moment right? They were great.
It's actually a really good point about they're awful at trying to entertain and be slick. But that was a really powerful moment last night. Loser, Mike Babcock's ego. When Gerard Gallant gets up there with the coaching performance for the ages And then you think Babcock's in the middle of the pack just for last year, just for the voting.
Yeah.
Now, he's obviously one of the best coaches in the NHL. Not last year, though.
Not last year.
I kind of liked it because I did a quick checklist again. Matt Martin played over 50 games. Leo Komarov soaking up minutes. Mitch Marner on the fourth line. Remember that? Freddie Anderson, way too many starts. Auston Matthews, not enough time and potentially a feud. You know, check, 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 check. Yes, there's development happening. Yes, there's some strong strategic thinking happening. But they didn't pay him $50 million to come here and have a checklist like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't his best year.
It wasn't his best year. It's very fair. That's a very fair assessment of Mike Babcock.
Not saying he's a bad coach. Not saying he can't lead them to a Stanley Cup. But if you look at last year, there was a whole stretch in the middle of the season where the team was not doing as well as it could. And it was the first time in a long time we said, hey, this feels like the coach.
Yeah. Question for you.
Yeah, buddy.
What is there a worse gig for a successful comedian than hosting NHL awards? Not involving a hospice.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Who's done it? Did Rob Riggle do it a couple years ago?
I think Riggle's done it, and like Will Arnett has
Will Arnett
done it.
Did it, though, because he loves hockey. He loves a Toronto guy.
Well, that's what happens. The NHL, you know, if you've liked one tweet from an NHL player, they're going to contact you. But
I noticed Will Ferrell's not in a hurry, even though he's at all those Kings games.
He's at those Kings games. That's as far as he'll go. I often, and I made this joke, so apologies for anyone who's listening on the morning show, but you know in bad like 80s movies, cop movies, when the police chief says to, you know, hey, Mikowski, if you screw up one more time, you're going to be busting elderly people for parking tickets. The comedy one is that, hey, you know, comedian X, if you bum one more time on the Comedy Store, you're going to be standing next to Bettman introducing the Hart Trophy winner.
It's like broadcast news. You've seen that when Holly Hunter sends William Hurt's old girlfriend out to Alaska to cover the stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're headed to the hinterlands.
You're headed to the hinterlands.
I've said this before, and I think the NHL, they would never do this, but if I was them, I would have gotten Chance the Rapper to host it based on the SNL sketch.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Right? And it would have been awesome, and everyone would have talked about it.
Oh, my God, that's an awesome idea. And now back to the hockey. Yep, they're hockeying it up over there. Oh, my God, that would have been so good.
Right? Like, who wouldn't have covered Chance the Rapper hosting the NHL Awards?
That is a great idea.
Thank you.
He is, at the very least, next year. Come on, broadcaster. Throw him in the booth.
I've seen enough of the hockey. You and I have been around TSN since the very beginnings of our careers.
Yeah.
And they do some things amazingly well. They actually do funny pretty well. And they tend to do funny pretty well because they leave it to the actually funny people on staff. Jay and Dan, Duffy.
Yes, they do it, but that has nothing to do with the NHL. That has to do with smart producers.
But I'm saying, if you have the talent, you can actually pull it off. Especially if you do it sort of in an isolated way and you don't try to superimpose the comedy.
Don't besmirch the game.
Oh God, I'm so tired.
But imagine
that.
And let's face it, you're good buddies. I'm friends with old George Straubopoulos. I mean, that's a perfect case there. It's like, George, we want you to be you. And then he starts doing the job. George, could you not be you so much? And then doomed to fail. Chance the Rapper for games would be great.
I always think that you should just get Kornheiser and Whalebone to host everything.
Yeah.
Right? It's like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler for comedy or entertainment. Yeah. Like those two guys are the ultimate team.
Yeah.
Just let them
just
do it.
Throw them out there and sit back and have fun.
Let Tina Fey and Amy Poehler do it for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got a bunch of things still to get to. We got dot, dot, dot.
Yep.
We got the Raptors and the NBA draft, which goes tonight.
Yep.
A momentous end of the era occasion just passed. And some World Cup talk, including a surprising hot seat to put you on.
Oh, okay.
The World Cup. Do you want to go there?
Yeah, let's go there.
All righty. World Cup, I don't know. Do you know?
Well, I mean, what the great thing right now, the stars are at least advancing. Cristiano Ronaldo, 4 goals. The header he had yesterday, great job tracking it down, burying it. You know, that's a great thing for the World Cup. A lot of 1-0 goals, a lot of more on set piece. I'm done.
Yeah. I thought you actually did an admirable job. You ran out of steam about...
Hey, Luis Suarez, he scored as well for Uruguay, and that was his 100th cap, 53rd international goal. So at least a lot of the names are advancing. Spain won.
So before you continue, because Christian Jack was on the show this morning?
He wasn't, but I was doing my research. Also...
Who did you have that gave those answers that you copied down?
No. This was me doing research.
Really?
Yeah. This was me doing research.
A little... Researchery?
You know what? Google goes a long way. You type in the names of the teams playing, and then you hit Google News, and then you cut and paste the important parts, Harry Kane. There's a name we can all get behind. By the way, Poland's roster, nightmare fuel. I can't pronounce. Like, Makowicz would be the easy one on that team.
Okay, I don't have it in front of me. Maybe next week we'll get you to pronounce the whole team.
Yeah.
This thing lasts about 6 months, so there'll be plenty of games then.
Yeah, that's what I got for the World Cup.
Okay, I got a few things that I've observed over the past few days, none of them soccer related, really.
Sure.
Whoever's directing it is known for three things: shameless cutting to attractive women.
Ding, ding. That's in every World Cup.
Yep. One of my favorite things is that the guys who are so glum because their team's losing, then they notice they're on camera and they start yelling and they're suddenly miraculously happy.
Yeah.
It's like that spray that keeps you from being hurt when you're on the pitch. And then my last favorite thing, and I decided, like, this is now my new favorite Schadenfreude kind of perverse joy, yep, watching the World Cup, is seeing people who are decked out to the nines in, like, their country's gear, and it looks like the biggest party ever, but their team's losing and they look sad. They look sad with, like, a carousel on their head.
It's a fantastic contrast. Like, you know, when England loses, there's going to be shots of pasty British fans, and they're all going to be dressed as Big Ben, and they're just going to have the biggest... They're the biggest puss on their face.
Okay, so this is the line. I wrote this down because I wanted to get it right. Those people are the human version of mascara streaking down someone's face from crying.
Yeah, perfect. There it is. Absolutely. It is hilarious.
Okay, I can put the World Cup to bed now, but here's what I wanted to do with you.
Yeah.
This is kind of in place of a top five.
Yep.
I have nothing to add. I'm just going to throw this out here. I invite you, Matthew Cause, not just the co-host of this pod,
yep,
and the something... on the Landsbergen morning.
Yeah, you know, I yammer for food.
Sure. You are also sommelier.
Yep.
So I introduce to you, Matt, the final eight in the World Cup of wine.
Ooh.
We got some matchups. These, yep, are going to be the quarterfinal matchups. We'll go to the semis and then the final.
Okay.
So just a quick, who wins a matchup?
Okay.
Better wine between Australia and France.
France.
Okay, you can give a quick reason
why. Australia, I find their reds a little bit too big, overpowering. This is more in the Barossa region, especially their Shiraz and Cab. No offense, great Chardonnays down in more the southwest corner. Tasmania does some good Pinot. And by the way, underrated Eden Valley Riesling, but France, Bordeaux, Burgundy, Rhone, Loire, I could go on. It's France.
A sentence or two.
Sorry.
Spain versus the U.S. That's like the Raptors versus the Wizards.
Ooh, that is. In the end, I'm going to go with the U.S. And it's not just because of California, but Washington State Syrah, Washington State Merlot, Oregon Pinot, damn good. And by the way, shout out Finger Lakes, some really tasty Riesling. Apologies to Rioja, Ribera del Douro. And of course, the Grenache of Priorat is great. Ooh, that's a tough one, but I'll go to the States.
How's it you can pronounce that, but you call George Strombopoulos?
George has got a hard name. We all know that.
And you know, and he doesn't get you drunk.
That's true.
He's not a drinker. Okay, third quarterfinal match. South Africa versus Italy.
Oh, Italy. Italy, no offense.
Crushes them like a grape.
Crushes them like a grape. But underrated Stellenbosch Bordeaux blends, and of course, Chenin Blanc is great in South Africa. But in the end, you're going to go Italy. I mean, you start at the north from Barolo, Barbaresco, and then you go all the way. You know, you got Chianti and Brunello. And down south in Sicily, Mount Etna, underrated wine region.
All right, so one more quarterfinal match in the World Cup of Wine.
Yep.
Germany versus Portugal.
Germany. I was just at the Wines of Germany yesterday. Riesling's delicious, underrated Pinot Noir. Portugal, I love port, and they've got some good dry wines, but they don't have that one great grape. They've got a lot of all. They're just local stuff, but no offense to Torriga Nacional, but you ain't there. You ain't Riesling.
All right, so now we're down to the semis.
Yep.
We've got France, who beat Australia, versus the United States of America. Victors over Spain.
This is, again, it's going to be going to France. If I'm going to have the best Pinot Noir, I'm going to Burgundy over Sonoma or Oregon. If I want the best Cabernet, I'm going Left Bank Bordeaux, baby. No offense, Napa. If I want Merlot, hey, Paul Giamatti, shove it. Merlot is delicious, and I will take Saint-Emilion Pomerol all day over what California or Washington State can bring.
Now, the reason Matt ripped Paul Giamatti is not because he, you know, hated him as the... What character was he going to be in the Spider-Man movie?
He was Rhino.
He was Rhino, right? Yeah. He was going to be Rhino.
Yeah, he was. He was.
A very brief very glimmer brief. Of him as the Rhino.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is about.
Sideways.
When
he says, I'm not drinking bleeping Merlot.
Right. Okay, so the other semifinal match, Italy versus Germany.
This is tough, but well, it's not tough. It's Italy. Absolutely, 100% it's Italy.
Okay, so now we're coming down to number one versus number two.
This is always the classic
This is the tough one. This is Duke versus Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
This is the matchup you want to see. You paid for it, gang, you got it. France versus Italy in the World Cup of Wine final.
This is tough. As someone who's part Italian and grew up on Chianti, and I mean, Barolo might be my favorite, but in the end, the France Bs beat the Italian Bs. Bordeaux and Burgundy just edges out Barolo and Barbaresco. And don't sleep on Bandol in southern France as well. Also, in terms of white wine and sweet wines, I'm sorry, but what Montrachet brings to the table is better than any white wine we got in Italy.
So you're going with France?
Going with France.
It was close.
Yeah.
Can we say it went to penalties?
It went to penalties.
Extra time and then penalties?
It went to extra time, but France won easily in penalties.
All right, then.
Yeah.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The World Cup of Wine brought to you by Matt Cause. France is the best, eh? And I'm assuming if they win that matchup, France is the best in the world?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Do most people think that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And people that don't, sometimes, you know, it's like sometimes you just admit it. The White Album's the best album. You know, by the Beatles. Like,
yeah, but it's not.
You know, or God, you know, like when you have your classic conversations, there's some things where it's just, we know it's the best. Yeah. Okay, what's the best shark movie, Bob?
Oh, it's Jaws.
Yeah.
But there's no number two.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying to think of one where they're clearly number two. But in the end, France is number one. It has
maybe you would say, like, what's the best gangster movie of all time?
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly The Godfather, but then it's part one and two, so that doesn't really count either.
Yeah, it's tricky. But anyone who doesn't have France, usually it's hipsters. It's mm-hmm. France.
Greatest Edmonton Oiler of all time, Wayne Gretzky. No disrespecting Mark Messier, yep. Paul Coffey, Connor McDavid one day, I'm sure. Okay, so we've got the NBA draft, which goes tonight. We can get to. We can talk about the momentous end of an era occasion that happened last night, or .. where I throw out a couple of one-liners. You decide what you want to discuss.
Let's do a little rappies, and then we'll move on to your other two fun things.
Okay. So tonight, I know that you're not really following the NBA draft. I'm super nerdy for this.
Yeah. This is much more you.
It's pretty clear that the NFL has the best draft.
Yep.
Just in terms of A, the event, but also B, the impact it has the following year.
And just player exposure.
Yeah, we see them. You know, they've got the best marketing system for their young stars ever. It's called the NCAA.
And they're all there on CBS, you know, or whatever network, you know, watching SEC games on CBS versus, you know, some of the top players of the NBA. They've been, you know, they play in, you know, so many more playing in Europe and around the world.
And even though they don't talk about this on the college broadcasts, ESPN is basically forecasting these guys from the time they're in their second and third year where they might wind up and draft needs of teams. And
oh, yeah.
So
Kyrie Irving played like 8 games at Duke. You know, you couldn't get a really great idea what he was going to be.
Yeah, I think he played 14, but the extra six didn't. Yeah, I don't think the extra six made that much difference. The NBA is probably the second best draft just because.
Oh, yeah.
Less so because the tournament means less and less each year. But still, like some of the guys are going to make an impact next year. You rarely get that in hockey. And baseball, who the hell knows who these kids are?
Yeah, agreed.
So the Raptors are in an interesting position. Because they don't have a first rounder.
Nope.
And so that kind of takes you out of the conversation of anything interesting. But there's a lot of rumors swirling around the team. Do you buy the idea that they'll trade Norm Powell tonight?
Oh, if in a heartbeat if they could.
No, but I know they want to. But do you think they actually can?
No. No, I don't think so. He's got like 3-4 years left on the deal.
Yeah, I think three.
And just, you know, the guy that we saw that played so well in the playoffs 2 years ago and just, you know, was not there. Like, this was a lost year for Norm Powell.
I keep thinking that they're not going to swap Lowry or DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight, if something was going to happen, I don't think it's going to happen. But it's must-see TV in the sense that we're not sure.
There's lots of rumors, and we don't know what's being lied to or agents giving information to Mark Stein saying that the Raptors, you know, are looking to get into the top 10. And you don't go from no first round pick to a top, you know, 9 to 12 pick in the first round unless you're giving up something a little bit more than Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, 100%. So if they could trade up to go number two at Sacramento, That would be amazing because now you're looking at redoing your franchise.
Full redo. Right?
That could be a DeRozan to Sacramento because they're tired of being a joke in the league. I think they're going to take Marvin Bagley. Everyone thinks they're going to take Marvin Bagley, but if we could get Luka Doncic.
Oh, that'd be great.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got Lowry and Doncic in your backcourt. That'd be pretty damn
exciting.
By the way,
you know what? You know how disingenuous I am? You know why the reason why I said that would be great?
Why?
It's because listening to the Bill Simmons podcast the last couple of months, all their NBA experts love Lukas Doncic.
Yeah. And yeah, it's Luka Doncic, yeah, but exactly. Not Lukas Luka.
Like, my name is Luka. I live on the second floor.
Right.
My name is Luka.
What was the name of that French wine you could pronounce, though?
Well, I mean, Chambou Moussigny, Gervais Chapatin. You know, remember, there is Chasson Montrachet and Poulinet Montrachet, which are, by the way, very different. But you know what the thing is? Only because I hear everyone else say he's good, I'm like, yeah, he must be good. I've never seen him play. Yeah,
I know, and I'm kind of BSing too here because, like, how much I'm BSing because of the BS report, basically.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I follow all those pods and all the, you know, draft class. You know, everybody's so high on this kid, but I don't know. I didn't watch him play.
Yeah,
sounds great, but the Mavs are also interesting because, you know, they probably don't want to suck for much longer, and they got the sixth pick.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. Most likely, though, and this is the real rumor, is do they trade into somewhere between 8 and 12 and try to get, say, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander?
Yeah, I don't do the middle name. I just go Shea.
It's a tough one. Even I found it hard.
Shea Alexander from Kentucky.
And I watch Kentucky, too.
You do?
I watch his kid play a lot.
Yeah, and?
He could be really good. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a scout. I don't want to talk like some kind of a-hole who's like, yeah, well, you know, in
his
my
wingspan is...
Well, he's got a long wingspan. 7-foot wingspan on a 6'6 frame.
They all have a long wingspan.
Like, who's got stubby alligator arms? Yeah. They're basketball players.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not since Matthew Dellavedova has there been. This guy's got a small wingspan.
You know, they're not built like me, but I'm built like, you know, I'm built like Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
What would be interesting about that, though, is if they actually did move up and make that move, then you could see maybe the thinking is you go for Fred VanVleet and put this kid in the backcourt and you get rid of Lowry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
You
know,
because you don't need to go after this kid and Fred VanVleet. This is another example. I don't think anything big is going to happen, but it could be an indication of what Messiah's up his sleeve.
Mm-hmm. And then there was like, hey, would Cleveland trade the 8 for Kyle Lowry if that would help to please, you know, LeBron James? Let's face it. Everything's going to come down. Like, the only reason we're watching, I'm going to watch this because I watch every NFL and NBA draft, period, end of statement. But will the Raptors make that big move? And then just, it's going to be an hour of, hey, what's going on with LeBron? Because it's the best sports soap opera.
It's so true. Even like at the 8th pick, I've been hearing that he wanted them to bring back Kevin Knox to take another look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so bad because Kevin Knox is like this young player from Kentucky. I think he's going to be really good, but he's going to wind up drafted by Cleveland. And then LeBron's going to leave.
Yeah.
And he's going to wind up on that island with Kevin Love and George Hill and what other mook they have
26
there.
26 win team. By the way, I just thought of what Cleveland should do.
Hmm.
I don't think you're allowed to draft guys who aren't even in high school yet. They should draft LeBron's son.
100%. Now you're talking. You do the LeVar Ball thing, right?
Yeah.
You just get the whole gang.
Yep. Just sign. Draft LeBron James's son. I don't know what rules you got to break. But if you're Dan Gilbert, that is, because that's almost like Taken. Like, we've got your son hostage. Come on, LeBron. Actually sign a 3-year deal.
That's awesome. Actually, instead of Taken, although that's an amazing analogy. Yeah. I was going back to The Godfather with that one, with Frankie Pentangeli, when they bring his brother to sit in the back of the courtroom. Just have the son sit with Dan Gilbert in the back of the hall.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And Dan Gilbert's son with the bow tie, you know, who was at the draft all those years. They were drafted number one overall. Yeah. Draft his son.
So the best argument, I think, for drafting Shea G. Alexander.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So rare that you get players who are underhyped and overperforming.
Yeah.
Because everybody's so quick to jump on bandwagons. But even when he was playing for the Canadian team, I think they thought he'd be like an NBA player, but not necessarily like a mid-lottery pick.
Yeah.
And he could go that high. So I like the idea of a kid who's getting better. And if you're going to pick someone who's young, like, it's almost like we've forgotten the idea of, hey, draft someone with a lot of talent. And develop them.
Yep.
Turn them into pros. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's so got to win now about things that if you're not good in your first year or two, they just give up on you.
Yeah, it's true.
Man, it's ruthless.
I mean, we're already talking about Markel Fultz, the bust.
I know.
Been in the league for 1 year.
That was a weird one, though.
Yeah.
Philly scares me because I'm reading all these stories about how they have enough cap space to sign LeBron outright and the assets to trade for Kawhi Leonard.
But the funny thing with them is LeBron the right guy because does that stunt at all the development of Simmons and Embiid? Or at the same point, you just go, don't overthink it, dummy. That's LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You'll figure it out.
You know, I feel like you found your own answer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Before we move on, by the way, I want to get to dot, dot, dot. Real quick, Seat Giant. That's our Canadian partner on the show, Seat Giant. Go to seatgiant.ca. Why? For all your tickets, concerts, sporting events, whatever you want. And the most important thing, everything is in Canadian dollars. You don't have to worry about any sort of conversion. And would you like to save a little bit of money when you buy the tickets? Fantastic. When you're at the checkout, you'll see the area for a discount code. Every website's got it. Type in Bob and Matt. You save a little bit of money. We get a kickback. It's win-win. Seatgiant.ca. No exchange fees, no bank fees. What you see at checkout is what you pay.
Are we calling it a kickback? It feels a little seedy.
I know, but the kickback sounds great. It's like, you know, it's like,
it does sound cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like when you go to the bank to withdraw money and they put it in the envelope. Oh, it's so much better when they put it in the envelope.
They should give us our money and they do it like Money Mart, so our weekend can go smoothly.
Go smooth. Money. That's a podcast for another day, the evils of Money Mart. But
oh, don't even get me started. Those crazy interest rates.
Yeah, the check cashing.
Ugh. Usury. Oh, look at that. I just made up a word.
Oh, there you go.
So, dot, dot, dot?
Yeah.
All right. So, here are the three. I shoot out individual sentences to Matt, and he decides which one we will discuss. Aaron Sanchez, 3 quality starts in a row, dot, dot, dot. A new record for me breaking a resolution to go vegan, 1 meal, dot, dot, dot. And when did Dwight Howard become Joe Smith, dot, dot, dot.
They're all so good, but we know where we're going with Bob.
So, you want me to explain what happened?
Yeah, what happened with Dwight Howard? Absolutely. No. What happened, Bob, with your vegan?
So I was thinking the other day, you know, summer's coming, and I put a couple back on after taking a couple back off. So I thought, I should look better than I do. So I'm going to go vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I made it to about 1:30 in the afternoon. So I skipped meat for breakfast.
Good for you.
But I got home and I was like, oh, we just went to Costco and we bought all those cold cuts and my wife's not going to eat them. She's practically vegetarian. And,
yeah.
You know, I can't ask Charlotte to eat all these cold cuts and I can't throw them out. I'll wait for all of the cold cuts from Costco to be finished. Then I'll go vegan.
There you go.
I lasted one meal before I had a big turkey sandwich.
You made it to lunch. Let me ask you a question here, Bob. Do you sometimes look at your wife and feel guilty? Because Sandra's a very attractive woman. She's always been a very attractive woman. And go, huh, you look like you. I look like me. I'm sorry. Like, I do that sometimes with my girlfriend. I'm like, look at your defined shoulders and back and everything.
Amy's like, very fit.
Yeah.
Amy's like attractive and kind and bright and warm. And you're not as good as her.
No. Oh, God,
but
no.
But you know that.
Yeah.
But this, I know the same is true of my situation as well.
Yeah. So do you ever feel guilty?
Guilty's not the right word. Mm. I guess the best way I can put it is, remember the IKEA commercial where the woman thinks she's ripping them off and she says, start the car?
Perfect.
My whole life is basically start the car.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a perfect way of putting it, Bob.
You know, I've basically aligned myself with the most amazing people out there.
Yeah.
And they haven't gotten rid of me yet.
That, you know what? It's a great way of looking at it.
Can we do Dwight Howard and Joe Smith?
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Joe Smith, he was a former number one pick out of Maryland. And he was never a bad player.
Yeah.
But he was a journeyman player. He played, I think, for 8 or 9 different teams.
Mm-hmm.
And teams liked to have him. He was 6'10". He could play, you know, he was good. But he played everywhere. It seemed like every time you turned around, he had a new jersey on.
Oh, yeah. He was like the littlest hobo.
Yeah. Just going from town to town, saving people's problems.
Yep.
Dwight Howard traded now to the New Jersey Nets from the Charlotte Hornets. When Charlotte gives up on you, you know that you don't have much left to offer.
I was listening on the Lebertard show the other day, and they were laughing about the fact that in 2009, 2010, Lebertard said, if you have to build a franchise between LeBron and Dwight Howard, you do it around Dwight Howard. And remember, they went to the finals the one year where they beat Cleveland and, you know, lost to the Lakers in a series. It went 5, but it was closer. It was a close 5-game series. And from that point to now, the amount of teams like Dwight Howard, L.A., Charlotte, now New Jersey, Atlanta. He's been on at least 4. Houston, 5.
Houston. This is his 5th team, but 4 in the last 4 years.
Oh my God! Like, just if you could go back to 2000,
LA, Houston, Charlotte, and now New Jersey in the last 4 years.
If you went back to 2009, Bob Mackowitz, when Orlando beat Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I told you two statements that Dwight Howard it would in the next decade would be on four teams in 4 years, or Donald Trump would be president. I mean,
I'd probably go Trump will be president.
But it would be close between which one seemed more insane.
Ridiculous?
Yeah,
yeah, they both were ridiculous propositions.
Yeah.
When people now talk about the, you know, these big men being the next, you know, Mo Bamba or DeAndre DeAndre Ayton.
There you go.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to help you.
Yeah, thanks. People always go, oh, he looks like Dwight Howard. He reminds me of a young Dwight Howard. How did that become a red flag?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at his peak, like, just there was his body. Like, we were comparing him to David Robinson. Right. You know, I remember always the conversation was, wait till Dwight Howard gets into his man body with his man strength. And listen, he had some great years.
And he's still having good years. You know, he's a consistent rebounder. He can still score. He doesn't need a ton of touches. But he is so venomous in the locker room.
Yeah.
He is hated everywhere he goes. You know,
this is a drop from the guy, you know, put the Superman thing on and slam dunk contests. And yeah, his fall from grace is a huge one.
I'm watching Ayton talking about this, the Phoenix Suns, and he's like, you know, I got a ton of fans there, and I think we can be great. Nobody can stop us. And he's talking about himself like he's already succeeded.
Yeah.
I get that you have to be confident. I know these kids have been groomed for it.
Yep.
I understand all that. I still hate it. Because you look at this, Jahlil Okafor, I was just listening to people talk about why he fell apart in Philly. And basically, he was incensed that the offense didn't run through him.
Yeah.
You're a kid.
Yeah.
You're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. Just shut up. I'm not saying just shut up and play. This isn't sort of like
You're not doing old man, get off my yard. But at the same point, look at the development. You know, look at how players develop and get better. Sometimes it's about shut up, know your role, grow. You know, don't be a shrinking violet. You know, stand up for yourself when you have to. But there are times when it's just like, just go, yes, boss, and move on.
We have one of these. We have one of these situations here in Toronto in that we have a traditional big man.
Yeah.
And you can see on the nights when Jonas Valanciunas has a good matchup for him, he's really good.
Yeah.
And on the nights when he has a bad matchup for him, he's pretty invisible. And Dwayne Casey kept him stapled on the bench for most of the last few years.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to be a big man that can't defend can't defend out on the perimeter, and can't function in the pick and roll.
Yep.
You know, if you can't move, you can't play in the NBA.
It's true. And actually, I mean, Valanciunas, and good on the coaching staff, he has started to veer away from just traditional center, but he'll never be, you know, your Dirk Nowitzki or, you know, but then again, almost no one will ever be a Dirk Nowitzki.
Well, I wasn't in my NCAA pool with you, was I?
No.
I think I was with a bunch of music nerds.
Yeah.
But my team was called Valanciunas from the corner.
That is so nerdy.
It is so nerdy.
That is so absolutely nerdy.
Well, there's few worlds where you can get as nerdy as music and sports, and you combine them together. Whole lot of nerding going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. 100%. 100%.
All right. So we can't have much time left.
No. Only like a couple minutes.
All right. Well, do you want the momentous end of an era occasion from last night?
Yeah. Let's end it off. Sorry. So explain.
June the 21st or 20th last yesterday. Yeah. June the 20th was officially my last parent council meeting ever.
Oh, that is great.
I am no longer part of the parent council. I am done.
You're done. You've given them your pound of flesh.
I have. And I was thinking to myself, should I go back next year? And there's an outdoor committee that I'm going to be a part of, and that's kind of cool.
Perfect. There you go.
Yeah, and the people part of it are really smart and great. Actually, the people part of the parent council are really smart and great, too. But so the meeting is wrapping up yesterday, and like the final order of business, like literally the last thing for the year in this volunteer position, and one of the parents says, why don't we have any bike racks?
Mm-hmm.
Who's been in charge of trying to get us bike racks? And that was me. And I was like, well, it got tied up with like all kinds of stuff with the trustee and emails back and forth and the city councilor. And look, it just got tied up. And they started to know, well, you know, do you want to organize? Like, should we go to the councilor's office, organize a picket? What should we do? And I
organize
was,
a what?
Like there was wine in the room ready to be drunk. It was 7:45, the night of the last meeting, and we were discussing who dropped the ball on the bike racks.
Oh, my God.
And I kind of wanted to say it must have been when I spent hundreds of unsolicited hours, you know, for no money, working to help the school be better. So I looked at that, and I was kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Stick on this outdoor committee. That sounds fun and vague. by the way, outdoor committee.
I wish you could have seen Matt's face right now. It was so dismissive. That sounds fun. Vague.
Yeah. I could not have been more dismissive.
It really was.
By the way, if I was on the parent council, teacher, whatever.
You'd be awesome because everybody likes you.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. When I would get upset by it, I would ask everyone two questions. I'm like, one, everyone have a pretty good life, like from when like 8 to today? And I think most people say, yeah, you know, it's been a pretty good life. Okay, so, you know, your parents, you know, they at least did a fairly good job in helping you get to the point now. Yeah. Do you think any of your parents spent one-tenth the amount of time on you that you're doing with your kids? Okay, you turned it okay. Okay, let's pop open that wine and don't worry about the bike rack.
You know, Matt, I like the way you've turned like half-assed parenting into a virtue.
Yeah.
Listen, I turned out okay.
Did you? Like, there's no way my mom didn't. I don't think my mom went to one parent-teacher meeting.
My mom was pretty involved in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then you go fine. You want to?
You've met my mom.
Yes, I have met your mom.
Classic mama bear.
Yeah, that is true. Well, Bob, congrats.
Thank you.
Just tell me one thing that you do in the outdoor committee. Beyond slather, like,
no, we're going to refurbish the outdoors. Like, we're a classic downtown school in Toronto. It looks like a penitentiary.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's just like concrete yards and very little in terms of trees and plants and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we're going to, you know, I got an architect on board, put that together. I feel like I EP'd it, you know, met a whole bunch of people, put a little board, a little committee together. I got to say and I'm going to wrap up here, but
yeah.
I actually really did enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, cause you do meet a lot of good people.
Yeah.
And I pointed out a couple of times people give you the gears, but more often than not, they're actually really,
Of course, if they're willing to donate their time, there's obviously something good about them.
And there's a lot of volunteers and a lot of nice people. But I swear, I think it changed my philosophy on community. Because I was never really like a community activist person.
Yeah.
But I'm so disenchanted with politics.
Yeah.
And I see what happens when people get together and just decide to do it themselves.
Yeah.
I'm now convinced everybody has to join something.
Yeah.
And just take care of some small part of the world.
You're not going to be the guy walking up and down the street telling people to slow down. You're not eventually going to be that guy, are you?
No.
Okay.
No, I got my sights. I got my sights elsewhere.
Nice. Well, no, you're right about the community thing. And listen, it's why I've always been distrusting of a lot of government and politicians. Because if you really want to get things done, it's just the people getting together. Because if you wait for the government to help you out, you're probably going to be waiting a while.
And, you know, your girlfriend and you, by extension, have done the Hope for Help thing. You're building raised schools in Africa.
We had the music festival a couple weekends ago back in Allora, Ontario. The girls raised about $7,000.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And nobody asked them to do it. They took it on themselves. Yep. They spent a ton of time, a ton of energy. And the only reward they get is knowing that they're doing something to help out.
Perfect way to end this, Bob. Bob, you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Next week is the last week we have anything to talk about. And after that, you and I think we should actually convert the pod into a sports and movies pod for the rest of the summer.
Yeah,
until around the end of August.
Yeah, we could talk about Hereditary.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
And?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Right? Scary, though, eh?
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.